You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. The UK did it. They Brexited. So, what happens now? I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. And if you are wondering what in the world the UK leaving the European Union means for you, relax. We're here to help you figure it out. From the mood on the ground in Britain, to the massive effects on global markets and trade, to your personal finances. We're going to explain it all. As always, come share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. We're at Marketplace WKND. We are going to start the show. Where else? In London. That's where Marketplace's European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard is based. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Lizzie.
This is seismic. Why don't you go ahead and give us the mood?
It's too big to sum up in one word. I mean, it's a mixture of everything. Shock, dismay, jubilation, excitement, sorrow. Here are just two of the voices that sort of sum up the range. Here's a young man speaking from the south of England who voted to stay in, and a middle-aged woman from the English Midlands who voted to leave.
It is scary, but I think it's excitingly scary. But I think we'll pull through. We're British.
I couldn't feel worse about it. I'm devastated by it. I feel European, and to be breaking the bonds after all this time, instead of trying to work together, is devastating to me. I'm very upset.
Those are awfully disparate reactions, and yet one of the things that seems to hold true is that this vote was a repudiation of British elites.
Absolutely. This was an extraordinary slap in the face for the British establishment. In spite of a whole slew of warnings and threats and cajolery from Britain's business, political, academic and institutional leaders, and from world leaders like President Obama, for example, in spite of all that, the majority of the British electorate, more than 17 million people, have defied them and voted for Brexit. The head of the UK Independence Party, who campaigned for this referendum for years, Nigel Farage, was jubilant.
It's a victory for ordinary people, decent people. It's a victory against the big merchant banks, against the big businesses, and against big politics. And I'm proud of everybody that had the courage, in the face of all the threats, everything they were told, they had the guts to stand up and do the right thing.
There's a lot going on in that clip, Stephen. I guess you could say dog whistles about migration, race, politics, all sorts of things. What are the follow-on effects in the UK since this vote?
Well, essentially, the Brexiters feel that this is a bid for independence. They say that now Britain can become free from a foreign bureaucracy in Brussels, a foreign court, and a foreign parliament. But almost immediately, another issue of independence has loomed into view, and not one that Mr. Farage and his fellow Brexiters were thinking of, and that is Scottish independence. Scotland voted 2-1 in favour of EU membership in this referendum, but was outvoted by England. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, who lost a referendum on Scottish independence from the UK 2 years ago, said the EU vote would now revive her personal and political mission for Scottish independence.
It is a significant and material change in circumstances, and it is therefore a statement of the obvious that the option of a second referendum must be on the table, and it is on the table.
So, Stephen, what happens next in Europe?
Well, the Prime Minister, David Cameron, will step down by October, and the new Prime Minister will decide whether to apply for Article 50 of the EU Lisbon Treaty. This would trigger a 2-year period of negotiations in which the UK would try to agree the terms of its disentanglement from the EU and a new trade deal with the EU. But in Germany, Christoph Schulter of Der Spiegel magazine says the UK should not expect a sweet deal from its EU partners.
Germany has an interest to show all the other Eurosceptics that they have something to lose. That's why they have to be tough on Britain after the Article 50 is invoked.
It really feels, Stephen, like we are not only in a wholesale reevaluation of what the United Kingdom means, but also the kind of sense of Europe itself.
Yes, very much so. I mean, Schulte says Euroscepticism is rising across the European Union. Hostility towards the sort of centralizing trend in the EU. And it's rising particularly in countries like France, also the Netherlands, Austria, Italy, and even in Germany itself to some extent. So there's a real fear in the centres of European power in Brussels and Strasbourg and in Berlin that there could be contagion from what they're calling the British disease.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie.